Would you please be seated? Just bear with me while I fire my machine up and there we are, good. Now this morning we are continuing to look through the Psalms to see what light they throw on some of the tenets and huge truths in our Christian faith. And so this morning we're looking at Psalm 32. You might find it helpful to look at that psalm. I shall be reading the appropriate verses out anyway, so it's entirely up to you. And this particular psalm is, as you can see, looking at forgiveness. Now, this is a huge subject, and I am only going to scratch the surface this morning. You'll be glad to know. So, I'm just going to produce, two or three points that I think are relevant to us and our ongoing walk with Jesus. So, Psalm 32 and verse 1 sets the scene. It says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered." Why is this so important? This forgiveness. Well, the Bible sets the scene very well. You'll remember that in Genesis, in chapter 3, which we refer to as the fall, it shows what happens when Adam and Eve disobey God. And from that moment they do, they're at odds with God. And it escalates, and so we get the first murder after that. And things spiral down and down and down until things are so bad that God has to take very drastic action, and then you get the story of the flood and a chance to start again, as it were. And that's the sort of pattern that occurs right the way through and into the New Testament. And in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, St. Paul says this to those young Christians at Rome. He said, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I remember Donald Flanders coming to speak at St. Paul's Cathedral. And when he first got up into the pulpit, he said, "I have got a message for you all from Michael Flanders." He said, "And Michael wants to remind you that everyone is cast from the same mould, but some are mouldier than others. We're all in the same boat. Some more so than others, perhaps. But we have all sinned. We've all fallen short." That's the point. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, St. Paul makes it the point even stronger, because he says to those Christians at Colossae, he says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." Now, once you were alienated from God and enemies. I mean, that's pretty strong, isn't it? And he could be looking at us and saying the same thing. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind. Because that's what sin does. It puts you at odds with God. It's a rebellion against God. You're at odds with God, and therefore you become God's enemy. And God's answer to this problem that we all have, of course, is forgiveness. And that's why it is so important. In the Old Testament, there are three words which translate as pardon or atonement and forgiveness. And these Hebrew words are kippur, meaning cover, Nasa, meaning carry away, and Salah, meaning let go. And all three words are metaphors for the removal of sin. And so you can see it is covered so that it no longer blocks the way between man and God. It is carried away so that it ceases to be a barrier. And it's forgiven so that there is no resentment or anger in the mind of the injured person. Now, of those three, the first and the last are only ever used of God. The middle term is a general term applying both to God and to us. Our forgiveness is different from God's forgiveness. Our forgiveness is partial, God's forgiveness is complete. And let me give you a silly little illustration to help with that point. Imagine that I am walking along School Road in Emswell towards the Co-op. And as I walk along School Road, on the other side of the road, on the pavement, coming towards me, in the distance, I spot Ernest. And as we get closer, I wave to Ernest and I bend down, I pick up a brick and throw it at him, and it hits him on the head and hurts him, obviously. I rush across the road and I say, "Ernest, I'm so sorry I hurt you. I really didn't mean to hurt you. I was only really messing about, but I have hurt you and I'm sorry. Please forgive me." Ernest, being a lovely, godly person, will say to me, "Canon Richard, of course I forgive you." And we all shake hands and go our way. Now, the next morning, again I'm walking along School Road, and again on the other side of the road, on the pavement, there is Ernest. And as we approach each other, he will see me, and he will think to himself, "Look out, there's that Canon Richard, he throws bricks." You see, our forgiveness is partial, because we remember the hurt. We may not take action on that hurt, but we remember it still. God's forgiveness is very different. God's forgiveness is complete. So that when that particular wrong is forgiven, forgiven, it is forgiven as though it had never been. And you know, that helps to apply, and we see that in the life of King David. And in the psalm that we've had this morning, we can see how David reminisces over his life, and in particular recounts how he tried to keep secret his adultery with Bathsheba. And it put him in problems. So much so that the guilt of those sins ate away at him. And it had an effect on him physically. We have a look at Psalm 32 and verses 3 and 4. This is the problem with electronics, you see. Or at least the way I operate them, probably. Right. Good. It says this: when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. That's the effect that sin was having on David's life. And you see, sin has an effect spiritually and quite often physically. Now, I'm not suggesting for one moment that, say, for example, the people that we've been praying for this morning are ill because they are terrible sinners. But the point is, as we see in David's life, that's how it affected him. John Wimber tells us how some years ago he was called to pray for healing on a woman in her 40s. She suffered from chronic stomach disorders and arthritis. And when John started to pray over her, he received insight that she was bitter. And so he asked her if she was feeling angry or feeling hostility or bitterness towards someone. And he went on to say, because it had been shown him, particularly your sister. And the woman stiffened and said, no, I haven't seen my sister for 16 years. John said to her, are you sure? And she then told him that years ago, her sister had married a man that she had loved. And then a few years later, divorced him. She said, I could never forgive my sister for that. And John Wimber said to her, that unless she was able to forgive her sister, her bones would waste away, the same as David's did when he tried to keep secret his adultery with Bathsheba. And on hearing this, the woman relented. And she asked John, what shall I do? And he said to her to write a letter to her sister, forgiving her and asking to renew their relationship. The woman immediately wrote that letter, but she didn't post it straight away. And in the weeks that followed, she went steadily downhill until she thought she was going to die. And then she remembered the letter, and she summoned up enough strength to get to the post office and post it. And as soon as she had put that letter in the postbox, she felt this huge relief. And by the time she got home, she was completely healed. There is a physical link between sin and our own bodies. Psalm 32 and verses 3 and 4 helps to show that. Because David says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. And that's how it was until, in verse 5, we see what he says. He says, "Then I acknowledged my sins to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin." It required some action on David's part so that God's forgiveness could take effect. We have to do the same. That's why at the beginning of services, quite often we start very early on with confession. We did this morning. And you'll notice that quite often in our service that is the pattern. So we come before the Lord right at the beginning and confess our sins so that we can receive the forgiveness which he offers free. And we can then really start to worship him. If we're holding back, or trying to hold back on God, not admitting things, then our worship will suffer. Our relationship with God suffers as well, because that barrier then is still there. So acknowledging our faults is vitally important to the forgiveness which God holds out to everyone. The 7th president of the United States of America was a man called Jackson. And I think he operated somewhere around about 1829 to 1837. During his presidency, a man called George Wilson, a payroll clerk, robbed a train of the federal payroll and in the process killed a guard. He was caught, sent for trial and convicted, and the sentence was for him to hang. At the time, there was a movement against capital punishment in the States, and a lot of pressure was put on President Jackson to give a presidential pardon to George Wilson. Jackson agreed, and he gave that pardon. But to everybody's surprise, Wilson turned it down. He refused it. That had never happened before. And so the Supreme Court was involved and asked to rule on that particular situation. And once the judges had conferred and handed down their judgment, it was that the pardon is just a parchment. Of its own, it has no value. Its value depends on the person receiving it. And if that person refuses that pardon, then it is valueless. They went on to say that that's in effect what George Wilson had done. They didn't know why, but that's what he had decided. And therefore, the sentence will stand and he will die. You see, forgiveness or pardon, whatever word you want to use, has to be offered and is offered by God. But for it to be effective, it has to be received. Have we received God's pardon? Have you or I received God's pardon, God's forgiveness? You don't want anybody to falsely accuse themselves. But it is vitally important that we give God some time in our prayers when we're on our own, or anywhere really, to actually ask Him to search us through and see if He brings into our minds some particular event or happening for which we need to ask His forgiveness, so that we can be restored to be the people that God always intended us to be. Forgiveness is God's free gift to be received and to enjoy. Do not turn it down. Amen.